Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Good one to get into baseball and what Rob Manfred had to say yesterday, but something just crossed my mind during the break, and we were talking about the NBA, and almost slipped my mind, actually. Shams Charania from The Athletic was on the Complex's Load Management podcast on Tuesday, and he was asked, you know, what would the Warriors do with their number one overall draft pick? And Shams said, look, they're going to look hard at guys like Anthony Edwards from Georgia. They're going to look hard at maybe packaging the pick. I don't think they're going to rule that out either. You're looking at a veteran team, and there's already some. Here's a key sentence, the key line here. There's already some veteran free agents that are looking at the Golden State Warriors. They're looking at them gearing up and loading back up. You have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green back healthy, and now you've got Andrew Wiggins. They need a center. They need another wing or a guard coming off the bench. But other than that, this team is going to be geared up and ready to go. Or he actually said geared up and loaded to go. Loaded is the word he used. So veterans looking at the Warriors as if they're coming off an NBA championship. Steiny, Goo, you guys kicked this off, man. You believe that veterans are looking at the Warriors saying, huh, I could get right back in it with those three players, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green.
I think a few people, a few players might be thinking that. Okay, where's the free agent money coming from? Like, if you're a free agent, I get it. Like, there's some free agents that want to win a ring. Okay. But then there's other free agents who want to get paid. So all the guys who want to get paid are out because they don't have the money to pay them. But if you look at the list of unrestricted free agents, you got to, you know, is there a match there somewhere? You know, I'll just do this. Marcus Morris, Danilo Gallinari, Millsap, Bertans, Davis Bertans, Ibaka, Joe Harris, Tristan Thompson, Dragic, Marc Gasol, Whiteside, Crowder, Derek Favors, Aaron Baines, Dwight Howard, Carmelo, DeMarcus Cousins, Jordan Clarkson, Iguodala, kind of, Teague, Isaiah Thomas, Alec Burks, Kent Bazemore, Augustin, Korver, Harkless, Cauley-Stein, Mason Plumlee. Like, who stuck out there? Anybody stick out at all?
Dwight Howard for me, if they somehow, you know, could get him coming off the bench or what have you, doing what he's, you know, the block shots, rebounds. But other than that, I just feel like all the spots, if the Warriors go through with their lottery pick, they got their team. Like, where would this play? What would his job be? What would he do? And Steiny, you bring up the most important point, the money. You know, where is that coming from? But as far as the basketball aspect of it, I just feel like it's.
Yeah, I look at Goran Dragic.
If you go the.
Go ahead, Bonte. Go ahead.
I look at Goran Dragic as a name. We brought up Marc Gasol yesterday. We'll see what his health is looking like during this playoff format. By the way, Howard Beck from Bleacher Report is going to join us in 4 minutes here on BSNG. 4 minutes, things change quickly.
It's the Howard Beck guys. It's
the Howard Beck show, baby.
Ad lib.
There we go. Howard Beck at 11:10 from Bleacher Report. Look, Marcus Morris will be a nice fit off the bench, but probably too expensive. Goran Dragic may be a little expensive. I look at him as a backup point guard to stabilize a second unit. Dwight Howard, believe it or not, Him and Aaron Baines are guys that I think would fit pretty well with the Warriors, with this group, believe it or not. Boogie I'm out on. Who knows with Iguodala. Isaiah Thomas, out on Kent Bazemore. Mason Plumlee's not a bad fit either, to be honest with you. Believe it or not, Mason Plumlee, Dragic, Dwight Howard, and Aaron Baines are four guys I look at as veterans maybe the Warriors can have, depending on the money. They may come cheap at a cheaper price than the rest of this bunch, Steiny.
Well, this is where I vehemently disagree with Guru, because it sounds to me like Guru feels like the Warriors are basically ready to roll, so how's this guy going to play? Or what, like, yeah, I mean, and I get it. Curry, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins, and let's just say Marquese Chris. Okay, there's your starting five. But Curry, Clay, and Draymond are not playing 82 games each. All right? Like, you need another two players here. Like, players who can play. In a perfect world, you get a free agent who can play 20 minutes and you draft somebody who can play 15 or 20 minutes. Then, you know, then I think you got a little something more, but this team needs depth in a monster, monster way, especially because Clay's coming off that injury.
You know, Steve Kerr was talking. You talk about depth, Steiny. Steve Kerr was talking about some of the young guys on the team and whether or not some of them can crack the rotation and become key contributors next season. And I think we all agree on Eric Paschal could be a key contributor next season. Looks the part, plays the part, you know, play pretty well in his rookie season. But outside of that, could you count on Damian Lee? Could you count on Jordan Poole? Can you count on Kai Bowman? Alan Smiley Geach? I'm kidding there. I don't know if you could really rely on one of these youngsters, which I think the reason why, you know, with the Warriors season being over, it hurts guys like that. And we may not even have a summer league out here. You may not have an NBA summer league. So I wonder how much that hurts them to the point to where can those guys be key contributors and add to that depth? You could add two veterans and then get one of those guys to step up. You may have something cooking, Steiny.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I'd actually forgotten to put Paschal in there. He deserves to be in there for sure. I do think it's going to be interesting to watch Paschal. And it's not his fault. It's not his fault, but you know, he put up numbers on a 15-50 team on big nights. So
right.
You know, I fully think he can play when the Warriors go back to being ideally 35-20 or whatever it is. I think he's definitely good enough for that. I think Jordan Poole's a big guy, a big one. I mean, you know, can he find something? You know, could he be at least, you know, ideally in 3 or 4 years, he can play. He can play the game. We got Howard.
We got Howard Beck. Yeah. Howard Beck for Bleacher Report, longtime NBA writer. Covered the NBA for the LA Daily News, covered the Lakers. He's been all over the place. Howard Beck is a big boy here. New York Times, he's out in Brooklyn, now with Bleacher Report. I mean, he's everywhere. Full 48 podcast. What does Howard Beck not do? We're bringing Howard Beck here on BSNG on 95.7 The Game. Howard, good afternoon, man. Thank you so much for joining us. We're talking about the Warriors, and we do want to talk about what's going on with the NBA and the Orlando bubble. But, you know, what do you think the Warriors look like next season with their salary cap situation, with Klay Thompson coming back off a major knee injury, the unknown with Draymond Green? What do you think the Warriors are going to look like next season?
I don't know that we can, you know, chart out much beyond the obvious things, right? The obvious things are healthy Steph Curry, healthy Klay Thompson, healthy Draymond Green, and now you've got the three pillars of a multiple-time champion, and so you're off to a good start. Everything after that, I don't even think is possible to intelligently discuss in any depth, only because we don't know what the offseason is going to look like. We don't know where the salary cap and luxury tax lines are going to be after accounting for all the losses that the league is going to be dealing with and what the negotiations are going to conclude in terms of how to adjust for all that. So you know, the Warriors already obviously had cap issues anyway.
Right.
But how's the league and the union going to find a way forward that allows the league to function, that allows free agency to function, that allows for a healthy trade market to function? I think the good news is this is not a team that needs major changes because they have those three all-stars still. And once they're healthy and in the lineup together again, you can expect to be back in contention again in the West. And, you know, the other contenders that are already there, you know, we mostly talk about the Lakers and Clippers. Well, you know, look, we know that there are potential age issues if LeBron ever decides to age for the Lakers. And with the Clippers, you know, we've seen them all over the map this season. They're definitely a title contender. I'll be curious to see. You know, they've got some free agency issues for themselves this summer. I think Montrezl Harrell is among the free agents. So, you know, right. There's a path there to be right back in the thick of things in the West. But the West has gotten tougher in the Warriors' kind of, gap year.
Howard, looking at the playoffs that are coming up or the 8-game end of the regular season, do we know anything about can we assume all the games are going to be televised? Is any media going to be in the bubble? Are any TV personnel in the bubble? Are the announcers going to be doing it off a screen? What about the official? There just seems to be so many questions here. Do you know any of those answers?
I got to be careful on this one. I'm a member of the Pro Basketball Writers Association board, okay. And we are still in discussions with the league about some of this stuff.
Okay.
You're probably aware there's a Daily Beast story out there that, you know, they obtained one of our memos. So, you know, there's sure. There's some stuff out there. There will be, as that memo indicated, as that report indicated, there's going to be an arrangement, and this is all proposed. This is not final yet. And the reason that this is final yet, by the way, the league has bigger things they got to get done first. They're still working on all the health protocols, which is a massive document that needs sign off from the Players Association, and they're still working to finalize that. I expect that we're going to hear that has been finalized maybe any hour now or maybe tomorrow, but that's getting close. And once they've got that squared away in terms of how they're handling players and teams in the bubble, then they can move on to getting down to it with media.
Gotcha.
So I'll just say this. There's going to be, if media want to, there will be an opportunity to be in the bubble. Now, if you're in the bubble, that means you are confined to all the same restrictions that
Thanks.
Players and teams are. And that means, you know, lack of movement. You can't leave the bubble. You're going to be tested every day. Meals are going to be provided for you. So there's a tremendous expense associated with this because of the resort hotels that they'll be using within the Disney complex, the food that will be provided, the testing that will be provided. I don't suspect that we're going to see a lot of media actually in the bubble. And if you go to cover these games outside of the bubble, then meaning no testing, no restrictions, stay whatever hotel you want to, do whatever you want to, you know, when you're not there. You're never going to get anywhere near players or team personnel because obviously that would be a risk and that would defeat the whole purpose of the bubble. So you're either in the bubble with not a lot of access anyway, from what I gather, or you're outside of the bubble with zero access.
Right.
So if you're an avid reader of NBA beat writers and our work, you're going to see a much different kind of coverage of this resumed season and the postseason than you've ever seen. And by different, I mean not as good, because we simply won't have the access and the availability. And that's just the reality of where we are right now, because the league's first goal, their first mission has to be ensuring safety before anything else.
Howard, I shared with the guys this morning how surprised I was about now hearing that players may not be bought in, and I get that and understand it. Did I err in assuming that when LeBron James and some of the players, Chris Paul, NBA?
Go ahead, Bonte.
Oh, we're losing Gould over there, Howard. We lost Gould a little bit here. I'm not sure where he was going. We never know where Guru's going, Howard Beck. That's our guy, Guru, though. He's an X factor in the show. Just you're talking about how it's going to be different for the beat writers and everything. And I'm just thinking about the players. And we're talking about tampering. Would all these players stay at the hotels and possibly run into each other? What do you think the NBA is going to do about tampering? I know all these players text each other, and it's different than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, but I do wonder about the tampering, Howard, and how guys could talk to other players and other coaches could talk to players. What have you heard about that?
I don't have any sense of whether that's been discussed. I suspect that it is very, very low on the list of things that the league is concerned about because, again, coronavirus is number one, and just mm-hmm. creating, you know, an atmosphere where they could pull this whole thing off and just complete the season in the playoffs. That's all they care about right now. In terms of tampering, listen, David Stern said it out loud 10 years ago in the wake of LeBron and Chris Bosh going to Miami. David Stern said players can't tamper with other players, and that made it very clear. That sent a clear signal that whatever the tampering rules are that are delineated in the league bylaws, it does not include players talking to their buddies and saying, hey, man, be fun to play with you sometime. You know, you should come join. Like that has always been allowed. Tampering, now there are some limits, I guess, but you can't be doing it on behalf of your GM or the team owner. But come on, these are impossible to prove things anyway. So, yeah. And besides, all these guys, they all got each other's numbers. I mean, it's not like they can't, you know, tamper with each other, recruit each other all the time anyway. So it's understandable. I do think it's more time around each other, which means more time socializing, and there's nobody else to socialize with because they're going to be stuck in the bubble. So,
Howard, I want to know, it seems to me, I mean, and you know, I know you follow issues that are more important in basketball. It seems to me that if they put in very strict protocols, which I'm sure they will, I mean, the numbers right now are starting to re-spike. I mean, it would almost seem like if you're a player with health concerns, with the whole country opening up, it might be safer in the bubble.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's, look, safer in the bubble than you are maybe in your own neighborhood. I mean, unless you're never leaving your house, but
right.
I suppose. But listen, we've all adjusted to new realities the last few months in terms of how to protect ourselves, and whether that's staying home as much as possible, whether it's wearing a mask when we're out in public, whether it's keeping the distance from people, all of that. Like, I don't want to say it's safer in the bubble. They'll be tested all the time, so at least then they'll know if they picked it up. But look, by committing to being in the bubble, you are also committing to being in an environment where you have actually surrendered a lot of control. You control who comes into your own home. You're not going to control who's coming into Disney's property and those hotels and the restaurants and everywhere else. So all these workers who are coming in to cook for the teams, to clean rooms, to do whatever else needs to be done to keep this little ecosystem going. You know, you have no control over all them. So I don't know that I actually think that they're necessarily safer there. They're just going to be under a lot more restrictions. And again, they will not have control over their environment. And that's the real risk factor here. You know, there's always the risk that a player or a coach or somebody might decide, screw it, I'm going to go stray for the day, and maybe they pick it up. But I think the bigger risk is people who have to work within that bubble, servicing the NBA and all of its teams. That's where the risk probably comes from.
Bleacher Report's Howard Beck here on 95.7 The Game. Been covering the league for a long time, of course, for the New York Times and the LA Daily News. Howard, now let's get to the actual basketball, the teams that are going to be on the court playing. Look, the Lakers end up with the second best record of the league. Bucks, obviously, number one overall, and they got the Clippers there with all their load management or whatnot. Who's at an advantage here coming back from this long layoff? It's been 3 months since we had NBA basketball, 3 months to the day since we had NBA basketball. Who's the favorite here down in Orlando? Are you going to expect any surprises maybe in the first round, second round, or third round?
It's the great unknown. Nobody can possibly answer this question intelligently because, you know, you can speculate, well, the teams that are veteran teams that have been there before, so the Lakers with LeBron you know, guys like Danny Green, who's won championships, and guys like, you know, Rondo, that you could say, well, that's a veteran team. They'll get back into it quicker than a team that's never done it before. And also they've seen everything there is to see. Okay, yeah, but they got a bunch of guys who are older, and maybe it takes longer to get back up to speed. Maybe a younger team can spring back to play faster. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. Like, these are the things we'll go around and around about for the next several weeks, and we'll know when they get there. But I don't think it's possible to say everybody, you know, we hit the big reset button. Everyone's now presumably healthy with the side, the exceptions of LaMarcus Aldridge, who had season-ending surgery, and Bojan Bogdanovic for the Jazz, who had season-ending surgery. Everybody else has been able to just get healthy. So everyone's starting at the same point. But we don't know who's kept themselves in shape and who hasn't.
Yeah.
How many guys have even had access to baskets? So it's all unknown.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that, Howard. Now, having said that, here's one guess I have. And I'm using the most obvious information out there. I think Portland's got a shot just because they may have two important players back, Nurkic and Collins. But I agree with you. Other than something like that, who knows how these guys are going to react?
Yeah, and the thing with Portland is, you know, Nurkic and Collins. So Nurkic hasn't played in over a year.
Right.
Collins hasn't played since, what, early November?
Yeah. Right.
And you're going to throw them in. This is why Kevin Durant is right to not come back. You're going to take these guys and you're going to throw them onto a team that got used to playing without them and where they themselves haven't played in forever.
That's true.
And you're going to say, and by the way, we're trying to make a run at the eighth seed, and then we're going to try to knock off the Lakers. It's a lot to ask. And, you know, normally if you've been out that long, you know, you get to ease back in. You have a training camp if it happens to line up that way. You're on minutes restrictions. You play 10 minutes, and the next game you play 15, and then a few weeks later you're fine. Like, there's no time for any of that when you've got this eight-game ramp-up and then right into the playoffs. So it's certainly to Portland's advantage to have two critical players back, and it seems like Nurkic is a given. Collins, I don't know if they've actually said for sure. But, yeah, I mean, it lends some intrigue because that would be a pretty strong veteran team to go up against the Lakers in the first round. But, I, you know, look, if the Pelicans make the eighth seed, that's going to be a lot of fun, too. And I think that's the team that was really surging before the shutdown.
Wow. The great unknown in the NBA, man. It starts back up. It looks like they moved it up a day, Howard, to July 30th. We'll get the eight-game regular season and then the NBA playoffs, and we'll see. Go ahead, Sardi. You got one more?
Oh, well, you know what? If I don't want to get into stuff, but do you know what your role is going to be in this, Howard, where you'll be, or is it you don't even know that yet?
I haven't missed an NBA final since 2006, and I think that was the only one I've missed since – no, maybe that in 2003, the only ones I've missed since 99. So I would like to be there. I would like to not have my streak of finals end, but there's not – I'm not going to a bubble for 3 months. I've got a family, you know, like a lot of people do. It doesn't make sense. So the bubble is out. And then the non-bubble experience means really not getting anything unique because you cannot interview anybody. So it's a tough call for me, for all my colleagues, for all of our companies who have to decide how many thousands of dollars to spend for what will be limited access at best. This is tough. Like, we're in uncharted waters for the league. We're uncharted waters for the media that covers the league. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be different. Let's hope this is the only time we ever have to do it this way. But yeah, I don't know what I may or may not do yet. And fortunately, when it comes to making a decision on the finals itself, that's still a few months away.
Unknown times, Howard. We thank you so much for the time today. Howard Beck, Bleacher Report, Full 48 Podcast. Thank you so much, man. Take care. Stay safe. And hopefully you do get to cover these finals. And hopefully we do have an NBA finals. I'm still a little suspect on that one, Howard.
Yeah, we won't know until it actually happens, right? But thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Be well.
Anytime. Howard Beck here on 95.7 The Game. Howard Beck of Bleacher Report. And here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Safeway. More NBA talk. Also, we'll get into Rob Manfred and what he had to say yesterday about the sport of baseball. Is it coming back? I think Rob Manfred, he had an answer for that yesterday on SportsCenter. We'll talk about that, and that's all sponsored by Safeway. New at Safeway, the Impossible Burger. Cooks like ground beef, but made entirely from plants. Find it in a meat market, in a meat department, I should say, for $5.99 each for a 12-ounce pack. While you are there, pick up some premium seedlings, grapes, red or green, for only $1.48 a pound.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Jim Barnett coming up at noon. Always fun to have Jim Barnett on the airways as we do once a week. JB will join us with some great stories, and we'll talk about the current NBA landscape here on BSNG. Yesterday, fellas, I don't know if you guys knew this, there's an MLB draft. Major League Baseball had a draft. A's and Giants take a pick. They select a pair of catchers in the first round. Giants select Patrick Bailey in the first round with their pick. And the A's take a catcher as well, Tyler Soderstrom, for the Oakland A's. But the real story was Rob Manfred. Now, I don't know if you guys heard Rob Manfred yesterday on ESPN SportsCenter with Carl Ravitch. And, you know, he was getting peppered about the game coming back. And, you know, Rob Manfred, he didn't hold anything back here, fellas. Let's go right to the sound here. Here's what Rob Manfred said about baseball coming back. Will we have a baseball season?
I'll be disappointed that we're unable to reach an agreement that allows us to play more games. But you know what? I think at the end of the day, the most important thing is that we play Major League Baseball in 2020. And I can tell you unequivocally, we are going to play Major League Baseball this year.
Wow. Strong words from the commissioner, fellas.
Then get a deal done, Steiny. If he's saying unequivocally we're going to get it done, let's go. Win. I think he was feeling the pressure from our guy Scott. So he just said we're going to play. It doesn't look like they're playing at all.
Yeah,
I mean, about that draft.
I mean, I don't think there's – I mean, I think they'll probably – I think they'll. I don't think it's about reaching an agreement. I think he feels like at the deadline or wherever they decide that last day is to salvage it, he's saying we'll get a deal. But that – like, I'm not concerned that they'll get a deal or not. Like, okay, they get a deal. It's about the it's more about the virus right now to me than a deal. Even though, yeah, I get it. Like, when he says, "Oh, we're definitely going to be playing baseball," like, you know me with words. Like, yeah, that means nothing. Now, if he says, "Look, we're gonna get a deal done," okay, that I believe. But who knows? Like, we don't know if one NBA player will ever board a plane to go to Orlando. We think it's going to happen, but we have no. So to say we're going to have a season is ridiculous at this point.
Can we all agree that there was some prestige to the first pro sport that would come back, and I thought baseball was the front runner, and 4th of July, were going to be able to watch baseball. Steiny, right. I know that may not mean nothing to you or some, but I thought there was something to that, being the first sport back, and I believe the fact that they're not practicing or getting ready spring training is because they don't have a deal, more so than the virus.
I just wonder what happened to the Arizona bubble. Nobody's talking about that right now when it comes to baseball. The Arizona bubble, the Florida bubble, possibly playing a World Series in Texas at that new yard with the retractable roof in Arlington. I haven't heard anything about that. So when a commissioner like Rob Manfred, who really a lot of people don't have a lot of confidence in, we see players rip the commissioner, that commissioner that is, Rob Manfred. We see fans rip Rob Manfred. I mean, he just doesn't exude a lot of confidence in anybody. And so when he says, hey, there will be baseball this year, it kind of falls on deaf ears. It falls on deaf ears. Now, here's what he had to say about the counterproposal, Major League Baseball's counterproposal to the MLBPA.
I don't want to commit to a particular date when we have to go down that path. I will tell you this, each and every day that goes by, we lose the capacity to play at least one game. And that's really the time pressure that's significant at this point in time.
And I was on ESPN yesterday with Carl Ravitch. He doesn't sound confident to me, fellas. Rob Manfred. It sounds like he's just saying what he said just to say it. But how can you take that sound bite and say, boy, we're going to have a season? Like, that exudes confidence into nobody.
Well, I think the scariest thing, here's the scariest thing, not it doesn't mean anything, more like, hey, we're definitely going to have baseball. You know what? Who cares? That's the problem. The people are like, yeah, who cares now? It doesn't even matter. I mean, between the people that are already down on baseball and the people who don't even think baseball should restart because of the health crisis, you know, what if that's the real issue? That whether they come back or not almost doesn't matter.
Here's a
you
quick
go
five
to the draft
clip
yesterday.
A quick 5 second clip of Rob Manfred doubling down on what he had to say about baseball coming back.
And lastly, the percent of a chance we're playing Major League Baseball this year.
100%.
Okay. And that's Carl Ravitch right there.
Wow. How Steiny, 100%, I'm not
fellas.
Saying you're wrong, but I'm up here, and if I woke up tomorrow and there was a deal done and you told me they were going to try to play, there would be a bounce in my step. But for a man that's in charge to say 100%,
liar!
I feel like he's just, that liar, pants on fire. Bonte, how can you say that? That just makes him look bad. And about the draft yesterday, it's just sad. Real quick, the NBA draft, everybody's talking about it. The NFL draft, we know what that is. It's a season in itself. And yesterday, oh, by the way, baseball had its draft. And I just thought it was sad because there was no buzz around it.
There was never a buzz around the baseball draft. Yeah. Give me a break.
And my point is, that's a problem.
Okay,
John,
I got to ask you something. Okay,
that's a problem.
Why did what Manfred said make baseball look bad? He basically doubled down and said, stop worrying about, the proposal's going back and forth. I'm telling you, we're going to play this year. Like, the only way that makes them look bad is if they don't play. I get it. Like, on the one hand, he has no control over it. On the other hand, he is the baseball commissioner, so I got to trust his word more than my hunch, but why did that make baseball look bad?
No, it won't make baseball look bad until they don't play, and it looks like it's headed that way. Now, he may obviously have some inside information, Bonte, to where he knows the deal's going to get consummated, but right now I'm just looking at it, and I thought, just from where I'm at, if they didn't have something done by the 4th of July, then everything was off the table and the season would be done, and that's rapidly approaching.
I'll tell you what it does, what Rob Manfred said. It kind of takes the heat off the players. When you double down like that as a commissioner of baseball, now fans are going to look at Rob Manfred as like the freaking commissioner. Commissioner of baseball said it was coming back. He doubled down on it. Wow. And where's the sport at? So in a way, this takes heat off the players. Because before yesterday, you got to think that the players were getting all the heat for not coming back. Oh, you guys are penny pinching. You guys don't need the money. You're already set for life. What's going on here? You're playing a kid's game. Now I believe Rob Manfred, by saying what he said yesterday, fellas, he takes the pressure off the players. He takes the pressure off the players to where people, there will be people blaming the players here and there. But now he takes the heat off the players, and most of the blame is going to come for Rob Manfred. That's what happened yesterday with his double down comments.
I think that's true. I think that's, but I also think, do you really get to be the commissioner of base? And I know the answer might be, well, you can if you're really dumb. What I mean by that is he's got to know something. He's got to know. Like, I'm willing for him to say that. I'm willing to let him put the virus aside, even though that's crazy at this point. But he probably knows if they're going to be able to reach an agreement or not. And clearly he thinks they are.
Yeah, and what's frustrating is, let's just say the NBA, they do go to Orlando and it goes on without a hitch, a champion's crowned. The NFL goes on without a hitch. And Steiny, it sounds to me, and you're not by yourself, but I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds to me you are a man that basically doesn't give a rat's ass about baseball. It's almost dead. And I'm hanging on, and I do understand it's not popular, but from a personal standpoint, I would love to consume it and watch it on my TV and watch the season play out. And I'm just holding on like this could be the death blow if they weren't to have a season, Bonte. That's where I'm at. And I know other people can be like, it doesn't even make or break me. They're already done. I've forgotten about it. But I feel like if they miss this opportunity and there is no baseball in 2020, it's a wrap. Like, you have just, shot yourself in both the feet,
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
There's got to be repercussions if you don't have a season for sports that's dying.
Well, see, baseball, they're struggling to come to an agreement or whatever, but then, like, the virus starts getting out of hand again, and they're like, you know what, we're out. We'll come back next year. And then basketball tries and can't get it done. How will that be a missed opportunity for baseball?
What I said earlier I just want baseball. I wanted baseball to be the first sport back. That was it.
Who cares?
I thought that a lot of they need it, Stoney. If you're the first sport back, you're going to have more eyes. Like, you're excited about you watching golf today. That's an opportunity for sports that's losing popularity by the second. That's a big deal.
If you're the last sport back, but you do it right, that's going to put you at the forefront, I think. Let's say basketball tries to jam something down our throat and it's a complete failure. Like, is that...
No harm, no foul.
Oh, well, you don't know that. Guys might be getting sick left and right. Yeah. Maybe they're people that get really sick. I mean, all I'm saying is we can't prejudge anything. Baseball may end up coming out of this thing looking the best because they'll end up canceling their season and can say there's safety reasons. And I guarantee you this, too. If baseball... like struggles to get an agreement, they may just sign an agreement and then cancel the season so as to make it look like it had nothing to do with any kind of labor issue.
I just think baseball made the mistake, fellas, of playing out this situation in public. You know, Jeff Pass and the VSPNs were reporting about the season around the clock. They've had all these different proposals. They've leaked all these different proposals. And it makes it look bad when you think about they had all this time over the last 3 months since spring training to figure something out. Hell, the NHL and Gary Bettman figured out a situation to get playoff hockey going. Like, Gary Bettman is probably the worst commissioner out of all the four commissioners when it comes to the major sports in North America. So hockey figured it out. Basketball's trying to. The NFL can sit back a little bit because their season doesn't start until September. So I just think it looks bad because it doesn't seem like baseball is closer to a resolution on bringing back the action. Doesn't look like they've gotten any closer from when they proposed a bubble in Arizona and Florida to where they are now. We hear 82 games. We hear 76 games. We hear 50 games. They have no idea. And that's what makes it look bad. That's what makes baseball look bad. They're just so out of touch with everything. They can't even get this right or figure anything out with this.
Yeah, and I'll say this, Stoney and Bonte, you are correct, Stoney. If basketball comes back and guys are getting sick left and right, baseball can say, you know what, we had an agreement and we got taken out, the season did, by COVID-19. But I just thought there was a chance when you just talk about what ails baseball and not talk about the virus, it was a chance it could have came back. Had they've been on their P's and Q's, it could have came back and maybe got some new fans. So if they do kind of hide behind, you know, guys in other sports getting sick and you had to cancel the season, you're not getting new fans to your game. So to me, that's at the end of the day, yeah, you got away, you got a deal done, but the virus, you know, kept you from playing, but you still didn't get new people to your sport. And to me, that's a fail. That's not growing your game that's hemorrhaging.
You know what? I've been thinking about this for a while. I don't think it makes a big difference in the long term. This is a blip. Okay, baseball has its act together, and they put together an 82 game season, and it starts July 1st, and then the NBA comes back on July 30th, and baseball had a free month. Well, they always have a free month in July. What's going to change? Like, what's going to change? Like, what? If you're not a baseball fan anyway, you're not going to watch. Now,
yeah, but the thirst of not having sports for 3 months.
You can watch golf. You can watch NASCAR. you're starting to get back into the other things.
But baseball's there for you daily, and the thirst of us
not having
sports for 90 days, I would hope a new pair of eyes would give it a shot, Bonte. Like, let me tune in to the A's or Giants tonight.
Guru, this, like, here's what I'm saying, though. Like, before the virus, the sport is dying.
Yeah.
So you bring back the same sport, and now you're going to bring it back as God. It's like, let me be reminded what baseball is. Like, and now I'm going to like it. It's like, no, I know what baseball is, and I actually, why would I watch it if I didn't watch it before?
See, I think baseball would have came back, Steiny, and they may have experimented with some things. Experimented with maybe having players mic'd up all over the field. You know, like Anthony Rizzo in the batter's box. Maybe you do that. Maybe you play some tournament-style games, you know, some seven-inning games, and maybe have some doubleheaders during the week. Maybe you turn into a tournament format come August. This would have been the season to experiment and change some things. And, you know, because the World Baseball Classic, for example, I enjoy the hell out of that. Tournament, get all the countries together, tournament-style format. You got pool play. That's fun. And the fans are into it. The players are into it. That's fun. And maybe Major League Baseball would have implemented something like that this season to experiment to try to gain new fans. This would have been the year to experiment. And now they've lost that time. Because when they do come back, guess what? The NBA is going to be back. Where are people going to be watching? NBA basketball. Then football is going to be back. What are people going to be watching? Football. And so baseball missed its clock, its window to really experiment and try to gain those new fans. Sure, it was dying. Sure, people didn't care. But with this pandemic, and if they would have came back before every sport, maybe fans would have looked and said, you know what? I do miss baseball. This is kind of cool. If they would have implemented some of those things. So they missed their chance to just experiment this season. And now that they don't have that window, and now they have to go head up with the other major sports, that's the death blow right there. The fact that they didn't even try to get nothing done. We have the Korean baseball organization playing games and going on with their season. It makes baseball look terrible. It makes Major League Baseball look terrible.
Yeah, and I mean, that part I get. The part about and I want to be clear about this. Yes, they could have used the pandemic to try some things, no doubt. But my feeling is these things they're trying, or they've talked about trying, okay, over the last year or two, to save a few minutes off the game, like that, those in and of itself ain't doing anything for the game. I'm sorry. And I'm gonna start watching baseball now, and you know what? I like the mic'd up thing. Like, so I don't want to use that particular one. Give me one other one. One other one. Oh, baseball.
Pitch clock.
Okay, yeah, now I'm watching because they have a pitch. No. Oh, a relief pitcher must face three batters. Oh, I'm watching now. Now I'm definitely watching. It's like, I don't.
And the
sport is fundamentally the way it is.
And it sounds like, you know what, Bonte, and both of us, Donnie, we did, all three of us collectively yesterday, we took a 100 calls about what we can do to fix baseball. And you're right. Forget the gimmicks and the gadget this year. Just listening to you two, honestly, man, I want to pour a shot of vodka and pour one out for baseball, because they're always going to be going up against the NFL and NBA. And I just don't know how you're going to attract people to your sport as is, Donnie. Forget the clocks and all the gadgets. At the end of the day, you got to want to love baseball. And right now, technology, that's my biggest culprit. That's why I think people are running from the sport. Bonte, I just don't see a fix anywhere in sight, man.
Well,
and that is that. It's dying.
But
I mean, like, we're going to have the funeral soon here. We're going to have a funeral soon.
I got you, but the thing I guess I want to be clear on is no action during the pandemic would have turned that around.
But some hope is – Stein, you could be right.
I don't know.
You don't know till you try it, right, Bonte?
With the Houston Astros situation.
People at home.
Just the unknown. Like, yeah, I don't know, Steiny. I think it would have helped. It wouldn't have hurt to have baseball going on.
It wouldn't have hurt.
It couldn't hurt.
It wouldn't have hurt.
It wouldn't have hurt. Stein, you've been asking for this sound. Rob Manfred, he was really agitated with Carl Ravitch. Let's hear what he was agitated about. Here's Carl Ravitch and Rob Manfred on SportsCenter yesterday. This was fun.
I'll be honest, my number would be 60 to 70 games, and you pay a full prorated salary, and we get back to the game of baseball. Why wouldn't that be acceptable?
You know, Carl, I'm not going to get into bargaining with you about issues with the Players Association. We'll make another proposal to them that's consistent with the economic realities that we're looking at, including the fact that our revenues are going to be down over 70%. And hopefully we'll find some flexibility on the other side and make an agreement.
See, it looked a lot worse yesterday.
Yeah,
it sounded a lot worse yesterday.
He's under a lot of pressure, y'all.
I was excited about the verbal conversation.
I thought he was going to just rip him. Yeah. Carl, you don't know anything.
Oh, man. I thought somebody mentioned your pay grade, Carl. Manfred. I was like, I got to hear this.
Yeah, that was
I'm not going to negotiate with you. All right.
I don't even know if it was a seven. I don't. When I watched it live, it looked. Maybe we need to watch it because it looked just worse with his face. You know, Rob Manfred has this face where he always just looks agitated about everything. That's the problem. He just looks even when he's announcing the draft picks yesterday, he looks agitated. It's like, Rob, dude, loosen up a little bit. Just loosen up a little bit. Be like Goodell during the NFL draft.
How can he be? Guru's pronounced the sport dead on arrival. He knows it's over, maybe.
And real quick, we can all have our reasons, but when I saw Andrew McCutchen's first at-bat with the Pirates and the fact that he was from Florida and he was good at high school and football and could have did different things, I thought, okay, this is going to open the floodgates up for other young black athletes to find baseball attractive. And you know what? I don't even think there's one that's come after him if you think that's what's ailing baseball. But it's just part of the problem. Man,
no, they have a lot of issues.
Well, we all remember that the start of Andrew McCutchen's career out of Florida, State 3,000 miles away, going to a team in Pittsburgh, 3,000 miles away. I forgot. How did we forget that McCutchen set the standard and kind of pointed the baseball in that direction by
Really quick, Steiny.
I didn't forget the locks.
Steiny, you don't
the dreadlocks.
You don't think it was that hostile? Because he did the typical. That you tend to always do. I exclamated the point where he does the famous thing.
Did he?
Here we go.
You know, Carl, I'm not going to get into bargaining with you.
The typical.
Play it one more time.
You know, Carl, I'm not.
There it is.
You know, Carl, I'm not going to get into bargaining with you.
Okay.
You know, Carl, I'm not going
to. Pregnant pause. Yeah.
All right.
It saves a little.
You know, that makes it go from a 2 to a 2.8 on the scale of 1 to 10 fire meter.
Daryl DeGuru, Johnson, Matt Steinmetz, Bonte Hill. We will be right back. Jim Barnett, he joins us as he does every single week to talk some NBA basketball. JB is going to join us here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Still open to certain community they love with full-service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.